Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Hello, Sherry?
Yes, hello, Ashwini. Good morning.
Good morning. Our assignment from yesterday. What are you told would be the benefits of this difference, record and listen, and the difference being describe the one thing about yourself that you wish were different? And here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, this is Danielle from Ann Arbor.
Hello, Danielle. What are you seeing?
What am I seeing? So yesterday, my reply to the question was, one thing I'd like to change about myself was how confident I am at where I am in life. So I just graduated from college, and I got my first professional kind of gig in theater, which is what I studied, and ego just automatically wants to go to, well, you're not getting paid a whole lot for this thing, so you, you know, it doesn't count, and like, it automatically goes to comparison to where other people in my field are at and where I'm at. And the benefit of me feeling more confident in myself would be to, like, just feel okay with where I am and not let those voices talk me out of, like, being present and giving myself the compassion that I need would be the benefit.
So, if I'm understanding this correctly, what would really be helpful is not listening to those voices.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they're always going to have something, right? And that's so helpful to see, because it doesn't actually matter how confident a person is if they are listening to those voices.
Right.
Right? It doesn't matter how good a person is, how kind mm-hmm. a person is, how loving a person is, how anything a person is, as long as they're listening to those voices, because the voices will always make a case, and if a person is listening to them, then that's going to be the experience that they have.
I see. I guess my question is like, how do you know or when to, like, make some sort of decision for yourself in terms of, like, where to go in your life? Do you just kind of just choose something? Or is that,
the answer is the same. When we're not listening to those voices, life is guiding us.
Mm.
So one of the things that occurred to me when you were talking about it was to ask you, how much were you paid to go to college? Right? And so here you are right out of college, and now you're in your field of choice, right?
Right.
And you're a baby in that field, right? And the voices would say, you should be being paid as much as blah, 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 whatever else is going on. But the fact of the matter is, I hope you're doing something you want to do, that you went to school in order to be prepared to do, and that you're learning, and like that. So if that's the case, then that's what we look to. And enjoying, I remember, since you're in theater, I remember reading two or three people, actually, who are very successful in that line of work, saying that the most important quality that you can bring to that work is to be a pleasure to work with. So that's really what you're learning, right? Not to listen to negative voices that want to put you in a place where you're not enjoying what you're doing. You're not fun to be around. People don't enjoy working with you. They don't want to take you with them to the next higher paying job, right?
Right.
And so, you're with me on all of that?
Yeah. I have one more question before I go. Is pursuing your passion, can it be egocentric at all, or is it how you do it? Is that really what it?
Well, that yes, I would agree with you. That what we do is really immaterial. How
okay.
we do it, yeah. So if you and we again we hear stories about these kinds of things. A person who is doing the most menial of all possible tasks, and mm-hmm. and people remember this person as being so joyful and so kind, and so and then they die. And turns out they've left an outrageous sum of money to, you know, whatever, because
right.
they were living very simply and just enjoying their lives, and they were saving all of the small amount of money that they were being paid and like that. So, yeah, it doesn't matter what we're doing. How we are in life is everything. We're
right.
either egocentric or not. We're either living for ego or we're not. Now, of course, wouldn't it be nice if it were that cut and dried? Oh,
right.
I'm never living for ego. However, as you've noticed, we do slip in and out of these states all the time.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, you go have fun, okay?
Thank you. Thank
go
you.
Happy.
Go happy.
All right. Thank you, Danielle.
Thanks, Danielle. You know, Sherry, the process piece of what you were talking about that was so clear is the conditional nature of ego, that
yeah.
we are bamboozled into believing that, in this case, right, if I'm more confident, I'm going to receive a feeling or an
yes.
experience or
yes.
a reward of some kind, right?
Yes,
but actually,
yes.
that's the bamboozle we need to wake up from, is that there is no X and therefore Y. There's just simply X. And most often, especially when we're starting out, it's such a conditioned belief to experience that if I was more qualified or if I was more confident, I would be more respected, I would be happy, blah, blah, blah. And so the pursuit gets set up towards something that is supposed to deliver an experience, feeling, happiness, or whatever, and it never does. And we have to do
right.
it for some time before we catch on to the fact that the promised carrot is not really going to ever be delivered, because the construct, the assumption on which it was based, is not accurate.
Yes, 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 exactly so. And the one thing that I would change about that is that we have to do it for a long time before we catch on. Actually, almost nobody catches on.
Yeah,
right? And so we see people who are really old still mm-hmm. living in that same self-hating place of, if this, listening to the voices, if this were different about you, then you would be having the experience that you want to have. And so catching on as early as we can to what you're saying, the bamboozle, one process doesn't lead to another, is going to free us up to have a completely different life just all the way around.
Yes, and the other thing that was so powerful in that conversation is the realization that we're actually focusing our attention on something other than what the voices are promising. I mean, what we really want is to be happy, to be alive,
yes.
to be joyful, to be here. And that
yes.
actually is a state of being, not a state of doing something
uh-huh.
that will result in that. And that clarity is, well, if you want to make money, make money. But making money has got nothing to do with living a life of joy. One's a what and one's a how. And so
yes.
to confuse those things is also something we stay stuck in till we realize that those are two separate things. They're not
yeah.
actually related.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's so clear when you say that. If you want to make money, make money. But don't get fooled into thinking that you're going to be happy because you do that. If you want to make money, you better be happy making money, because that's the only way that's ever going to happen. It's not a result. We never get a
yes.
result from what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We only get what we're doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's as you pointed out, how I do anything is the only way, is the only place where I can affect my experience. What I do will never affect my experience.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So big, isn't it? It's just so
unbelievably big.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Paula in South Carolina.
Hello, Paula.
Oh, are you hearing me okay, Sherry?
Yes, I hear you just
fine. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just getting kind of like another phone call coming in, and it's pardon?
Oh, I thought you
yeah,
were
I'm
getting
well, I'm not getting feedback. There's just other phone calls coming in, and I didn't know if you could hear that or not.
No. That's
good. That's
private.
Good. That's good. Well, I am delighted. I'm happy to be here. I'm just delighted get a chance to talk with you. And I'll tell you, this year's year-long retreat is just amazing. Just so, well, last year's was too. So.
Right.
But this is, I'm just having such a big time with this. And the immediate thing, I'll go back to the assignment, is I immediately wrote that I don't really want, there's nothing that I really want to change. And within a moment that I, you know, that was like a, yeah, you got to write something down. And, of course, there are things. There are things like I want to be calmer. In the moment, I want to be less excitable. And what I would get, the benefit of that, would be more focused on one thing at a time. So,
of course, that, Paula, that makes me wonder what the focus would be like if you were focused on where attention is. If you were aware, it's a little convoluted, so stay with me. So right now, there's an awareness of attention on how excitable you are, how not calm you are, how not one thing at a time you are. But what if attention weren't on that? What if attention were shifted to one thing at a time?
I would be just present, very,
even
very
happier.
And even happier. And I, when that actually happens, when I really am, you know, the seeing myself as someone excitable and, say, not calm in the moment is always, it seems, after the fact.
Yes, it's a conversation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's simply just what you said to Danielle. It's like not listening to the voices and just consciously, with awareness, shifting that attention to being here. And present, and focused on calling in on a different line, because I never seem to be able to get through with my cell phone. I think the only times I've ever been able to actually get unmuted was when I called on a different phone line, and I don't know if that's something to do with my phone, but nonetheless, I'm here now, and I'm really, it's great. Yeah, thank you so much for this this year's retreat. And I saw that the application is out for last year's retreat, and getting ready to sign up for that or get that downloaded, and looking forward to that. Have I lost you?
Sherry, are you there? Paula, I can hear you.
Oh, you can. It sounded like I lost somebody. I felt like I was talking to myself.
Hang on one second. Let me see if I can get
okay.
Sherry back.
Okay. All right.
Sherry?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm over there going, can anybody hear me? Can you hear me? Can anybody hear me? And nobody could hear me. Yeah. So the one thing that I wanted to say about that, Paula, is that
please.
Listening to a story about the energy that you have simply gives that energy to ego.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There is nothing about being high energy, which might be how you frame it, rather than ego's mm-hmm. framing of excitable and whatever, not calm. Calm is really overrated. Okay. In that sense of slightly narcotized, right? So be calm within whatever is going on, rather than believing that calm is something we need to control ourselves to be able to bring to a circumstance.
Wow, Sherry, I can't tell you. I mean, that is so, it's helpful in so many ways, because just Tuesday night, I was, getting pulled into a conditioned mind, judging people for being too excitable, or other
yep.
people are calm and they're more intelligent and they're more together, and those people that are really excitable are,
yep.
I don't know, schoolgirlish or something like that. And as you said that, I said, there it is.
Yep.
There is that
yep.
conversation that separates, separates me from this being, from freedom and
yeah.
from conscious compassion and awareness. That's it.
Yeah, so to give the attention to what's actually going on in the moment rather than a conversation about it frees us up. All right,
yes.
away you
yes.
go.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you so much, and thank you, Ashwini. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Thanks, Paula. That was quite a powerful analysis, right, Sherry, that giving the energy to the story is always, it always gives the energy to ego, and that how we feel is appropriate if we are looking to appropriateness to frame that energy, and that, again, that bamboozle of we have to bring a state of being to a specific experience rather than just being in the experience.
Yes.
Because that's what we're conditioned to believe.
Right. And how I feel doesn't need to have anything at all to do with how I behave. So this
yes.
is fact, my favorite example of that is I cannot acknowledge being physically attracted to someone, because if I do, I will have a relationship with them. That's
yeah.
the kind of, I cannot feel what I'm feeling because then I will do something. I will behave in a way, as if how we feel means what we do. Is it that they're one in the same? And they're not. I can be aware of feeling anything and still make choices about how I behave.
Yes.
When we get to that, then we're on our way to being a whole human being, right?
Yes.
Able to feel completely, to be present completely, to be completely at choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other smooshing together that happens for us, right? That if the feeling and doing get mixed up.
Yes.
And we're told
yes.
that because we feel a certain way, we are we are judged to be wrong or there's something wrong with me, but we fail to recognize that when we don't act on those feelings, that makes us a completely different kind of person. You know, there's nothing wrong in how you feel, and there's nothing wrong with anything, but there's a choice in how we act. But that's where the appropriateness comes in, and we can train on that.
Yes, and we can add another one since we're here in this conversation, and who knows when we'll be back to it. I actually just read, you know, I review peace quotes before they go through, and I read a peace quote from a rather famous spiritual teacher who was saying we need to take responsibility for what we think. Now, and I said, I don't think we want to go there. For the same reason that we're talking about with feeling. So if people pay attention to conditioned mind, it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly that I'm not thinking that stuff. It appears there, but I'm not thinking it. Now, I hope what this person was referring to is something appears in conditioned mind, and I have a choice if I'm present to either follow that down a conditioned track or stop it right there, if I'm present enough to be able to do that. But to tell people you are responsible for what you think is just, to me, a fast trip to self-hatred, because ego is going to take that. It's going to just point at everything that appears in conditioned mind and say, see what kind of a person you are? See what an awful person you are? Look at the kinds of thoughts that you have. You're doing that. That's your responsibility. I think it's cruel, and I think it's ignorant.
Yes, well, and it puts attention on a self that doesn't exist.
Yes, precisely, which is ego's whole deal.
Yes, that if there is a way in which an I exist that can be responsible for my thinking, squarely is an orientation of egocentricity at the center of the universe generating all thinking. But our experience is not that.
Right. Yeah. And we have to pay close attention to see these subtleties, which is the benefit of awareness practice. That's why we're doing this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Do we have time for somebody else now?
Yes, we do. We do.
Oh, good.
All right.
Good.
Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, I'm going to try another one. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Dan in Los Angeles.
Hey, Dan. Dan? Oh, dear.
Well, he shows unmuted on my screen, so let me try again. Dan, are you there?
Darn. Okay, Mercury is not being our friend.
No. Let me try another caller, Sherry. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hello, hi, Zotta here.
Hey, Zotta.
Oh my God, everything was so interesting in this call. This last part about the thought, but also the previous person about being excitable, because this is my big quote problem too, so it was super, super interesting.
You've probably had a little bit of feedback in your life that you are excitable. Isota? Darn. Is it me?
Sherry, she's unmuted also. So I don't know what's going on.
Maybe Dan and Isota are talking.
Isota, are you there? Huh. Well, I'm going to mute and unmute her one more time and see where we are. Hang on a second, Sherry.
Okay.
Isota? Okay, well, let me try a different caller. And if we have the same problem, we might just have to hang this one up. Jerry, hang on a second. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello?
I think we have system failure.
I'm afraid so, Sherry, because I'm showing them as unmuted on my screen, but no one is able to actually talk.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happened to me, as a matter of fact. Okay. Well, that maybe Dan and Isota can be with us tomorrow. Maybe somehow you can mark down how to find them again.
I will get to hear
from them either about this or what is our assignment for today. Maybe they'll talk about either one.
Okay. And so here is the assignment. Record and listen to this page. If you're looking for something, do be that. Also, don't waste your time feeling bad for not doing it before now. If you want to be happier, be happier. If you want to be more relaxed, relax. If you want more friends, be friendly. Sounds simple. It is. Prove this to yourself. Record and listen.
Oh, what a fun one. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you for... Thank you for dealing with all this technology for us. Much appreciated. And
thank you, Sherry.
We'll try it again tomorrow, eh?
Yes, and crossing fingers that it will work. I'll call customer service and find out what's going on.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody.
Right.
Go happy.
Go happy.